Off the Ball Rugby.
They didn't have to work as hard as Ireland's, and we often hear that in sport. It doesn't matter how hard, but you have to work. You still get the same amount of points, whether you have to go 20 phases or two phases.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening and welcome along to Thursday Night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you till 10 o'clock this evening. Coming up tonight, we're going to be speaking to Mike Quirk and to Billy Morgan from 7:30. It is Kerry versus Cork this weekend in Killarney. Cork looking for a first win in championship football in Killarney since 1995. Billy Morgan had a few good days down there, so we'll be recounting his memories of that. And we'll also be getting some Paddy O'Shea stories from both of the lads, because the Paddy O'Shea Cup is going to be handed out for the first time this Sunday. That's what the new Munster Cup is named. On Kern Fody E. Hay, to use the proper Gaeltacht translation via Darrow Canada, is what's going to be at stake this weekend. 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, we're going to have Richie Hogan live in studio, as we always do on Thursday evening. So another big weekend of provincial hurling action this weekend. You can get your questions in for Richie. And then from 9 to 10, Jason McAteer is going to join us in studio. Interesting development in Jason McAteer's life recently is that he's just done a master's in sports directorship. So he would fly over to Qatar for his B in sports punditry. With the time difference over there, your work is at the end of the day, and he would spend all day studying. So his current path that he's trying to carve out is that of a sports director at a football club. So really, really interesting chat coming your way with Jason McAteer from 9 o'clock. 087-9180-180 is our WhatsApp number if you've got any questions for anybody on the show tonight. And that includes David Seagrave, who is on Newsround duty. David, how are you doing?
Not too bad.
And Arthur O'Dea is here as well. How are you, Arthur?
Flying.
Big news today. Adidas have made the first move ahead of World Cup 2026. They've dropped their ad, I think it's fair to say. Well, I'm not sure if that's something we were all waiting for or not, but you certainly click into it when Adidas have dropped their World Cup ad. And it just turns out to be a host of insane stars. Like, the first thing is Timothy Chalamet on the phone to somebody called Benito. So you think to yourself, oh, Bad Bunny's appearing in this ad at some point. Hops into a car with Trinity Rodman in the front seat, Jude Bellingham in the back seat, alongside Lamine Yamal in the back seat. And then the stars get added from left, right and centre. I'm not sure if I should just like list off the entire stars here, or if that actually just kind of spoils the whole point of the ad, given it is a who's who.
Yeah, it depends how much people enjoy it. But yeah, I definitely was watching with the who'll come next? Who's coming up? You knew some people are going to come up. It's an Adidas ad. You know certain people are going to be there. And they surely were.
When you say certain people, you mean Beckham?
Yeah,
you Beckham. Mean Zidane? You mean Del Piero?
Yeah, Del Piero I would have forgotten now, to be honest with you. I wasn't expecting him, but it's good to see him in whatever. I don't. Yeah, how much can you spoil it? It's not really him. I mean, it's not. It is, but it's kind of is, and it's like it's not. I mean, it's our Del Piero.
You made it sound like it's a fella you haven't seen in years.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like someone you've casually bumped into down the shop. Like,
he's looking fierce, fella.
I kind of haven't seen him in years. I mean, you were speculating, obviously, as such as things. This was there was obviously some errand AI going on.
I'm so desensitized to things now and suspecting that everything might not be real. I've been caught by too many AI fruit videos for me to believe that anything could possibly be real anymore. And when I see David Beckham with his three different hairstyles, I'm like, that's just got to be AI, which I suspect it might have been. But I'm sure it was signed off with all the relevant propriety material by David Beckham. Although there's a... Okay, look, I'm going to just spoil it. I think it's a commercial. It's not the end of the world if you haven't seen this. But it tells a story of these three street football kids who are unbeatable. And they...
I just love the elevator pitch for it.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, exactly.
What's the ad going to be? Let me paint you a picture.
And there are three unbeatable kids. It's like something out of Stranger Things. These absolute wizards of football. And they keep beating these trios who come into their backyard and try and beat them at football. And then Zidane, Del Piero and David Beckham come into their backyard. So this is the most fearsome trio that they've ever taken on. And Zidane scores an amazing goal. Del Piero scores an amazing goal. And then David Beckham hits the crossbar.
Yeah.
How did Team Beckham sign off on that? That he was going to be the guy who let the whole team down? That was the first thing that went through my mind. Surely he's more of a marketing behemoth that Del Piero or Zidane would have got the short end of the straw. Surely Del Piero is supposed to be the guy, the failure in this
team. That's the kind of humility that gets you knighted, man.
There you go.
Yeah. You need to be able to show, and I'm above all this.
Arise,
make
David.
Make this version of me from 20 years ago look foolish. I don't care.
And then that is the payoff, that it's Bellingham, Yamal and Rodman who enter the field of play with Bad Bunny watching on. Like Bad Bunny's some sort of pimp in all of this, like bringing football trios together.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Is the implication that he seems to have ownership over the three?
It seems that way.
He's definitely on side of the street kids, as you call them.
He's a bit of a Don King sort of type in all of this. He's a promoter.
It's a cool scene. Like, again, it is. It looks cool. It looks pretty spectacular. And it's a cool idea, but like at the same time, it's like, what is this? What are we watching? What do you mean these three kids? And they just beat everyone. But it is, everyone's in there. Also Messi. Mm-hmm. Messi's hanging out with
I did forget that Lionel Messi is in this ad.
He's part of it. And
Pedri's in this. Florian Wirtz is in this.
Yeah, Dembele, I think.
Dembele?
Yeah, all the Adidas guys.
It must be the most expensive football ad ever made.
It's got to be right up there. I'd love to know what they command. I presume part of it's built into their general fee. It's not like you're going to have to go to whatever Dembele thinks getting fitted for a suit in it. It's like, oh, I'm going to be playing. You're not going to be playing. You're kind of going to be an ancillary character. But you have some good stuff. It's meaty. But I don't know. It should suggest also it's a good 5 minutes long.
Yeah, it goes on for some time.
What's the minimum to get into the Oscars for short films?
That's it. Maybe that's why Timothée Chalamet's in it. He's like, yeah. I couldn't win it last year. I've slagged off too many opera stars and ballerinas. I've got to try and go a different way to it. Football is where my home is. Also, I don't really know what sort of character he's supposed to be. He's kind of like Marty Supreme again, but not Marty Supreme. It's strange, but it's great. It does beg the question, does it come close to any of the great footballers? And I guess the first question is, what is the great football ad? What's the standard bearer?
Well, mine comes from about this point 24 years ago. It's got to be The Cage.
Mm-hmm.
On a boat, a little less conversation. Again, all the best footballers playing 3-on-3, but against one another.
I'm going to ask a terrible question. Who was that for? That was Nike, right?
Yeah, just making sure that would lose the whole point of the ad
if I wasn't to remember.
No, that was Nike. Eric Cantona was involved. All the big guys.
Because the Nike ads and the Pepsi ads kind of mesh into one for me. Yeah. Like the Surfers ad with like Beckham, Raul, Henri. I'm not even sure what World Cup that would have been around, even if it was around a World Cup. But that's certainly the one that sticks out to me. Like, I do think the 24 years ago is kind of a sweet spot, though. Like, Roy Keane in samurai gear for Aircom is, like, certainly most impactful.
Yeah.
I thought that was the coolest thing ever
as
an 7-8-year-old.
Okay. Yeah, I can see it. I don't know if they're... It's funny, because I wonder, will any semblance of that ever be played on TV? Like, is it purely an internet thing? I guess they probably put too much money in that it's not going to be on TV somewhere, but you'll never see...
You won't get the full 5 minutes.
Tiny iota of it, like 10% at most. But
that might be during a hydration break.
Maybe.
These hydration breaks aren't going to be in the full 5 minutes. What's your favourite football ad?
I've also gone with Nike, but not the same one. The Take It to the Next Level ad from, I think it was 2008. Also just found out that this has its own IMDb page.
Okay.
As testament to how good it was. Describes it as
sure
a young unknown player scouted and rises through the ranks. Playing alongside and against global superstars.
Yeah, that was class.
Talk about bad photography. Remember, I watched that back not that long ago, and there's the one where he's... that's the one where it's almost like a GoPro type.
It's POV.
Yeah. Guy Ritchie directed it as well.
Oh, okay.
No, which is bizarre.
That explains a bit. the first thing is where he scores like a great goal in the non-league thing, and
Arsene Wenger's doing his own
scouting. There in his own traditional kind of coat on the sideline. It just looks so photoshopped in, it's incredible. Then he got going. He was Dutch, I believe, wasn't he? He ended up playing for the Dutch national team, inexplicably.
Yeah. Dan has been in touch to say, please tell me you lads saw the Brahma ad, even better than the Adidas one. I have not seen the Brahma ad.
Is that it's Brazil, isn't it?
It's Ancelotti and Ronaldo in Rio.
I only saw a bit of it, but I didn't see it fully.
Ben says that was supposed to be Robin Van Persie.
Is it?
Point of view.
Is Robin Van Persie not in... I'm nearly certain he's part of it.
No, he wouldn't be signing for Arsenal.
Well, Ruud van Nistelrooy is definitely in the ad, and Schneider's in the ad.
Yeah, because he plays for the Dutch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's also at Arsenal, which would have been...
I guess it could be
Van Persie was there at the time.
I didn't know that. Why would you have an ad with Van Persie not featuring in it?
Maybe it just models Van Persie or something.
It's supposed to be it. Like, that's the Guy Ritchie thing. Like, Guy Ritchie said, we've given you this massive budget and we've blown like 5 million quid on Robin Van Persie. And then Guy Ritchie's like, actually, you know what? We're not even going to use Robin Van Persie. Yeah. We're going to put a GoPro on his head. And...
Well, there's one that you sign off. He gets mugged off in that one by Ronaldo, doesn't he? He's like leaning over him at some point, like, ruffling his hair or something. Like
Patrick asks, any Irish lads in it? Not quite. The best ad was the one in the airport with all the footballers. Big.
The Brazil one? Yeah. I think the Brazil with the...
Give us a bit more detail there, Patrick. What ad was that? Eamon says 2002, Nike ad in the cage will not be beaten.
True enough.
And it's pretty iconic. Like, anything else kind of springs to mind for ones that do feature Irish sports stars?
Ooh, you mean so within GA even?
It
outside
could be,
football?
Yeah, I mean.
Ooh. Ooh.
Like the... what
was like the Club Energize one.
Great one. What was John Fenton equal advertising?
What do you mean, back in the 80s?
Yeah.
Like the fire machinery.
His goal... kind of knocked out mastitis or something else in cattle.
There's a certain irony now attached to that that I'm sure wasn't there at the time. He probably did that in all good sincerity.
Yeah, sorry, it's Keprovin Dry Cow.
Oh yeah,
that was the product that was being advertised through John Fenton back in the day, putting his goal to good use. And sorry, the Nicky English goal was in it as well, and it's just like it's like these big graphics, powerful flashes up, reliable flashes up, and I mean, it gets its point across with regards to the product very well. Like, it's, you're not getting any powerful or reliable on the Adidas ad. Like,
No.
You've just got to assume that the product will actually hold up. But that is the situation on Adidas. Let us know 087-9180-180. We're going to pivot to rugby here for a couple of minutes. We'll get Susanna on the line in just a moment, but you're kicking things off with the Ireland team news for the Six Nations this weekend, David.
Yeah, 20-year-old Niamh Gallagher could become the latest Ireland player to be handed a debut in this year's Six Nations campaign. Ireland head coach Scott Beaman says they've been tracking the progress of the fullback, and she's now been named among the replacements, with Eve Higgins the only change in the starting 15 to face Wales. Just to run you through that team, Eleanor Perry, Cliona Maloney, McDonald and Linda Dugang are at the front of the pack. In behind is Fiona Chewett and Dorothy Wall, with Brittany Hogan, Aaron King and Aoife Wafer in the back row. In the backs, Emily Lane and Dana O'Brien are in at the halfback positions. The returning Higgins is joined by Aoife Dalton in the midfield, while the back three consists of Robin O'Connor, Bevan Parsons and Stacey Flood. Ireland, of course, are coming off the back of a disappointing loss to France, and Beaman wants his side to make a statement showing against the Welsh this weekend.
Really, really confident, actually. We've used the fallow week in, I think, the perfect manner. We've took a few days to recover. We've been able to have a couple of days training, and the girls have bounced back, and we can see that in some of the performance data in terms of how quick people are moving. So we know there's been great bounce back. The energy is back around the group, and the girls are confident in what they're trying to achieve. Home test match against Wales, they're big, aren't they? And we want to get that performance out there that really gets people talking about it.
We'll come to Susanna in just a moment, but Conan Limerick says, "Hi lads, the Carlsberg ad from 2002 featuring Jason McAteer winning the World Cup for Ireland was a decent sports ad." That is...
That's about as good as it gets for you.
It really, really was amazing. What was the song? Daydream? By... Can't remember. I'm blanking on 2002. We do have the benefit of being quite young people, being literal children when 2002 was. So do forgive us if you're of an older age profile. Conan Limerick, let us know. 2002, what was the song in my head right now? We don't have time to kind of mull over this. Before we get to your next story, we shall say hello to Susanna. Susanna Mullen, how are you doing?
I'm great, Owen. Thanks. That was a very educational and entertaining 5 minutes of radio there.
It was until I literally had a mind blank live on air. Talk to us about this team for Wales at the weekend, Susanna. Obviously, it's a Six Nations where Ireland can now try and target 3 wins. They haven't achieved that since 2020. So lots of pressure, I would say, on the team this weekend. But given what they did in this fixture last year, away from home, they'll be strong favourites.
Yeah, no, they're definitely strong favourites. They beat Wales comfortably last year. And also Wales haven't won a Six Nations game, I think, since 2024. So Ireland definitely favourites going into this. I think Aoife Dalton was up for media, the outside centre, earlier in the week, and she was very kind of clear in saying that the France defeat won't get to them. They've bounced back from a lot harder than this in the past. And they're actually quite proud of the performance they put out there in France. So, and Scott Beamond echoed that today when I asked him kind of, how do you encourage your squad to get over that disappointment? And he said, sure, they were disappointed by the result, but actually they were really proud of the effort they put in on the pitch, and they're going to take all that into the Wales game. So yeah, it's a strongest team, as strong a team as they could possibly put out. Really excited to see Niamh Gallagher come off for her debut. She starts regularly in the PWR for Ealing Trailfinders, and she's excellent over there. And she was repping out for the Ireland under-21s a couple of weeks ago in the Dexcom, and she was really good there too. So it'll be interesting to see what she can do.
You've had a busy day today, Susanna. You're also covering Munster. Before we get to this, David, do you want to take us through the top line from Clayton McMillan?
Yeah, he's made five changes to his Munster team to face Connacht this weekend. They'll be without Jack Crowley due to a leg injury. He, of course, was a late withdrawal in their win against Ulster 2 weeks ago, and he'll remain on the sidelines. JJ Hanrahan retains that out-half spot for now. Elsewhere, Mike Haley comes in at full-back in his return from injury, with Dan Kelly named outside centre. Finian Witcherly and Edwin Odogbo start in the second row, with Michael Alalatoa ahead of them in the pack following an injury to Ollie Yeager. The province is still dealing with the fallout of the cancelled move for Roger Randall, and that was called off following backlash relating to historic rape allegations that the former All Black has always denied, and he spoke about it earlier today.
From a kind of personal point of view for yourself, have you kind of found it like being a tough few weeks, like, from, you know, personally, has it affected you in any way?
Yeah, look, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed around you know, the decision around Roger. He's somebody I have a lot of respect and time for, and I think it's disappointing that we've collectively come to a decision that he won't be coming, but my relationship with him is sound. If anything, has grown through this experience. And, you know, we've just got to kick on and focus around what's important for the team right now.
You said it was you collectively came to the decision around Roger. Can you give us any insight as to whether that was more on the Munster side, or more on his side, after kind of the situation?
No, just a mutual decision between all the invested parties, Irish Rugby Union, Munster and Roger. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, we had to collectively ask ourselves around his ability to actually come and do the job that we're asking him to do, given the backlash and the circumstances. And ultimately, we come to the conclusion that that wasn't the case.
Okay. You said in the press conference a couple of weeks ago that you kind of asked people to trust you because you trusted him. Is there a sense of disappointment at all for yourself in that hasn't come to fruition?
No, I'm just disappointed that Roger isn't coming. You know, like, I fully understand that people will have an opinion, and in a lot of instances have voiced that opinion. And to me, I think the majority of those people just actually care about the club and never want to lose people's care for this club, because it's a big club and people want to see it do well. But all I can do is continue to look in the mirror and ask myself, are the decisions that I'm making in the best interests of the team? And when we appointed Roger, I honestly believed he was a person who could come here and add value to our environment to help us get better.
Susanna, as people will have heard there, you were on that call today, so you got a good grasp of the feeling of those exchanges between the press and McMillan. I think that last question you asked there is a really interesting one about McMillan and his future in this whole project and his faith in this whole project. Do you think that there's going to be more on this in terms of, you know, McMillan and his own sort of role at Munster, in terms of how he questions it and how he feels the level of belief is shown in him or not shown in him over this whole saga over the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it goes on. There'll be kind of more news in tomorrow's papers in the embargo section that I can't talk too much about just yet. But he is asked about how he feels and how he sees his future in Munster. And he is very much committed to the club for the next couple of months. But this has certainly, I think, shaken him. And just from his presence in the press conference, I thought when he did the piece a couple of weeks ago, he came in and he knew exactly what he wanted to say. And he was very calm. and collected and answered everybody's questions very patiently. And today, although he did the same, I mean, he's very well spoken. He's very good at talking to the press. I definitely felt like he looked exhausted, and he looked from the moment that those questions started, he looked like he didn't want to be there. And as soon as the call ended, he was up and gone. And you can understand that from his perspective. I mean, this is twice now that he's been put to the media and he's faced with answering all these questions. And obviously he's head coach, and there's an element of responsibility that lies on him, especially with it being kind of his decision, or partly his decision, to bring Roger Randall in the first place. But at the same time, there's a lot of higher up kind of people in power in Munster who haven't spoken to the media at all, have made very little comment. And I think for him, it must be exhausting constantly having to be the person who fields all these questions and defends not only himself, but his friend and the wider Munster organisation.
Definitely, he is the face of it. And there's nobody else answering questions on this. And as you rightly point out as well, though, Susanna, it was somebody that he vouched for, and it seems to have been his decision. Certainly he was the instigator in terms of bringing Roger Randall into the province. But those who, I guess, vetoed it and maybe were also responsible for bringing him in, it'd be nice to hear from other people high up in the province between now and the end of the season. Listen, Susanna Mullen, thank you for hopping on the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
So let's turn our attention to tonight's football then, David.
Europa League semi-finals continue this evening. Aston Villa will need to overturn a first leg loss to Nottingham Forest at Villa Park. They trail 1-0 on aggregate heading back into that game. And in this evening's other game, Braga lead SC Freiburg 2-1. Former teams will also look to book a place in this year's Conference League decider. Crystal Palace have one foot in the final. Heading into their second leg, they lead Shakhtar Donetsk 3-1, while Rayo Vallecano leads Strasbourg 1-0, and all of those games start at 8 o'clock.
Sorry, I threw you under the bus there. Your next story was actually the Connacht team news. My apologies.
Hence the brief delay.
Take us through what's going on in terms of the team's announcement this weekend. Oh, sorry. It's actually, there's a Connacht contract extension, rather. Take it away.
There's some big news coming from Connacht. They've confirmed that back rower Seamus Hurley-Langton has signed a new deal. The New Zealander has penned a 1-year extension to keep him at Dexcom Stadium until the end of the 2027 campaign. He's scored 16 tries in 64 appearances there. He'd previously been linked with moves to the UK or France. However, his decision to stay with the Westerners now means he could be called up for Ireland as some extra depth, as it'll bring his residency here to 5 years.
Your texts are flowing in on the ads. Best ad ever, Dennis Hickey and his Wavenpipe ad, says Senan. Stephen Castlenock asks, how can you not have discussed the best football ad of all time, Carlsberg Sunday League team? Is a cracker, to be fair.
That's good.
Bobby Robson and
the boys. Bobby Charlton.
Bobby Charlton was playing on the team.
Jack Charlton, I think. Peter Shilton, all of them there. Peter Reid, I think.
Peter Reid's in it for sure. Robert in Cork says, best ad ever was the Brazilian team delayed in the airport, featuring Roberto Carlos, Ronaldo, Bebeto et al. Classic stuff. No idea what it was for or when. Maybe 2006. Ben has Googled it. It was 1998 for Nike.
Is that like the most... We're on the axis of most enjoyable to least effective. Yeah. I don't know what it was for or where or when. My God, I love it.
Good ad. Sean says the Pizza Hut ads for England penalty misses remain the greatest ever football ads. Don't quite remember those.
Vaguely. It obviously included, was it Stuart Pearce, Chris Waddle and Gareth Southgate? I think from the 90 and 96 penalty shootout defeats. I don't remember what the exact tone of it was. It would have been fairly shortly after. I'm not sure how much it would have been aired here. Even. But I do remember it vaguely. Only vaguely. But it was definitely tied in with that.
Got in touch with me or got in touch with us tonight saying the song was I'm the Resurrection by the Stone Roses. I don't know what ad you're talking about, but let us know what ad that is, because it's certainly not Jason McAteer. Jason McAteer was Daydreaming Blue by Eye Monster, which I was having a bit of a brain freeze on a couple of moments ago. Where do you want to take us next?
Manchester United manager Michael Carrick insists he's not worried over speculation that he won't be at the club next season. He, of course, took over on a short-term basis in January and guided the Red Devils back to Champions League football with their win over Liverpool at the weekend. They face Sunderland this Saturday as they look to confirm a third-place finish in the Premier League this season. He says he's taking it one game at a time and will focus on what comes next once the season comes to an end.
We kind of got eyes on finishing the season strongly as well, you know. So I understand the question, I understand the timing of it. But from my point of view, right at this stage, it's just putting the boys in a place to finish the season strongly. And then, as I've said all along, and I'm calm about it, it'll get sorted out when it's going to get sorted out. Some of it's out of my hands, so we'll see what happens.
Meanwhile, interim Chelsea boss Callum McFarlane has rejected claims that his players have downed tools. The Blues are on a brutal run of form that's seen them lose their last six Premier League games. That spell has also effectively ended their chances of securing Champions League football for next season. The last hope lies with a sixth place finish and Aston Villa winning the Europa League. And he believes his side want to get out of their slump and has rejected the idea that they're checked out.
No, I wouldn't agree with that. The performances haven't been good enough. We're in a really bad run at the moment. The Leeds performance was a glimmer where we thought we could build on that, and we weren't able to do that. But I do see these boys every day, every training session, every meeting in the gym. They're in a good place to go and attack games. We just haven't been able to translate that on the game on Monday. So hopefully we can improve that on Saturday.
And just go back to the Michael Carrick story. It does look increasingly likely that he should be the guy for the job, but as the clip suggested there seems to be questions put to him that he won't be in the running for the job next season.
I think he'll be in the running. I don't know if he'll get it. I mean, I don't think it's crazy. Like, it's not a crazy. Are you under the impression that would be mad if he wasn't to get it?
No, it's not mad either way.
Yeah,
that's the problem. If it was mad either way, it would be an easy decision, I would suggest.
All right, so we're having more of a debate rather than outrage. I don't know if he should get it, personally. I don't think they played very well. I know they've won, I know they've done very well, but I don't know how sustainable what they're doing is.
Why is that?
Things you're looking at down, even the stats in the week, like the general whatever worth you put in it, XG and stuff being down, like they're not creating as much as they were. I mean, the Amorim thing was disastrous. Maybe who knows how much read into that. But it's down, like they're not playing that particularly well. And kind of as was kind of forecast, I remember Jonathan Wilson making a good point of it on Breakfast at the time, like from a long way out, I think pretty much every team they were playing up until the end of the season, by and large, certainly the ones that they really had to beat, would all have had way more games under the clock this season than they had. So you're like from a position of power, if you depend on how you view it, whatever, it's such unique circumstances, and he did very well, but I don't know if what's happened here in the last few months is any sign that he can do it next year where you're going to have 60 plus games, possibly. Probably.
There is also, I think, that sort of fear of the whole Ollie situation where people are looking back on it like that was some sort of disaster that they don't want to repeat. But I mean, like, was his tenure really that bad? I mean, they got what? 2 second place finishes and a cup final, 2 cup finals in that run. Like it wasn't disastrous by any means. Like they've had much worse spells since then. So I mean, I think appointing them isn't the worst idea.
It's not. It's not the worst idea. And it wouldn't be a terrible if that's where it ends up. But I think what people want, and maybe Arsenal fans can have a more of an idea because of the situation they're in. You almost just want to be sold on a vision or a journey or something. You don't want to be a
like the Amorim vision.
Well, that's, I mean, it didn't work, but it was great fun while it was lasted. Do you know what I mean? You want something, but you want something.
No,
you want
it wasn't.
You want to feel like you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
You're like that there's a plan, you know, that you can kind of do something.
No, for
I
sure.
go back to the same thing, the golden thing of Klopp. Comes into Liverpool, it's hard, does it?
Yeah.
Whatever. That's what you want. Mm. It doesn't matter if you do it. Yeah, anyway.
Okay. Arthur, David, thank you very much. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 ml tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. We're talking Kerry Cork after the break.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.